the show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams is in the studio. I'm glad he's here. You know, Sandy, I live in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee is undergoing a lot of changes. We've got a new mayor, acting mayor, and in Cavalier Johnson, young man, 35 years old, UW-Madison graduate. There's some things I really like about him. And then we've got the old guard, Bob Donovan, who is representing, what, the old guard. And
he sounds, whenever I hear him on the radio, sounds like someone who could do Pabst Blue Ribbon advertisements.
That's because the world and things have changed. And you can say what you will, but government in the city of Milwaukee, it's changed. It's younger people at the helm of it. Milwaukee is moving into a whole new future. You know, you are familiar with a lot of things that happen in government, in the city, in business, and those kinds of things. There's a transition taking place.
Oh, I mean, I think having a young set of eyes and ears and brain cells is an important thing for the next mayor, because I think what we need to be focused on is the future, and the future of Milwaukee could be rosy if we deal with some of the primary issues that need to be dealt with, and education and safety being two of the paramount ones, and that's what I hear Cavalier talking about. So,
you know, I'm just the overall redevelopment of the city. And, man, it's going to be spanking new. I mean, the Republican convention is looking at Milwaukee and saying, hey, we like what we see.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the development, the real estate developments that have occurred downtown, that fuse has been lit, and it's going to happen. And it's going to happen now for its own market reasons, because of the ability to assemble property downtown is quite easy. There's interesting properties in the Fifth Ward and all these various areas that are developing. And that's going to continue. And to the extent that the education and safety problems are solved in Milwaukee, there's sort of no stopping where it could go.
You know, the downtown, the Wisconsin Avenue, which was just horrendous 10 years ago,
yeah,
or less than 10 years ago, you know, unsavory people was what was on the avenue. But as I drive past it now, there's development going on everywhere. Could Milwaukee at some point in the near future be looked at as a destination place?
Well, I mean, these conventions are evidence of it. I think the popularity that we got during the NBA finals, you know, I think Milwaukee is being viewed as quite a jewel. You know, Portland for a while was viewed as the next Mecca, and Portland's sort of geopolitical social situation has sort of fallen apart. And maybe it's time for the ascendancy of Milwaukee to that very role. The long-term problem with Milwaukee is really just having an education system that will support families continuing to live in Milwaukee, so that we don't have a situation where Milwaukee is a place where empty nesters move or young professionals move and then they don't stay. We need to have a vibrant, effective education system, which hopefully we're moving in the direction of getting.
So is the answer to take a risk and break Milwaukee's school system into four? I had somebody on the other day saying, "Well, we've got to take a risk. We've got to do something different. Let's take a chance." Well, so you're going to take a chance, what you call taking a chance, with breaking up the district into four different. You don't know, have any preconceived ideas of what's going to happen. You just think this is the right way to do it, and part of what you see is that we'll just bring in the private sector And it's going to be
vouchers. I think the whole basis for that plan, according to the conservatives, is their desire to have vouchers for all, so that you'd end up with this huge marketplace with every school competing for students to come and bring their vouchers with them. And that's a nice idea, in terms of marketplace thinking, but the devil is in the details, and how does that play out, and how many generations of students are involved in an experiment if it fails, and what's the result of that failure? I mean, I think it's important to take risks and make innovations in education. I just don't think it's like the black swan. I don't think you can take terribly terribly big risks that would jeopardize the education experience by several generations of people. So the question is that the kind of thing that's the result of splitting up the school district? You know, the administration of school districts is one thing. Having four school districts administering themselves rather than one doesn't sound cheaper. It sounds more expensive. But really what worries me about state intervention into local schools is much more dealing with the curriculum and what can be taught in schools. That's, to me, the really pernicious danger. The notion that they would split the Milwaukee School District into four is troublesome because it seems to be just meddling and tinkering without being expert. So that's what's troublesome about that to me. But tinkering with curriculum and what can be taught, that's downright ideologically dangerous.
That's going on all over this nation, Sandy, where people are saying, well, parents should be able to tell the educators what their children should be taught. When was that ever the case? And why is that selling in areas now? I mean, all parents don't know what's in the best interest of their children. All parents don't know what children need to be taught historically,
right,
in order to make them a better rounded human being. But yet that's what the push has been from the right.
Well, the dark ages were when the dark ages that came in during the middle ages, I'm not joking now, came as the result of the church and others deciding what people could and couldn't think and what they shouldn't be allowed to express themselves. And education has long, particularly Western education, but education worldwide, has been a notion of giving children the ability to understand ideas of all sorts, to do critical thinking on their own, to reach conclusions based on facts, and to not shield them from reality in the process of education. And shielding them from reality has always been termed as essentially propaganda. And here we have in the United States the whole concept that parents should be able to shield their children from various realities in education. Well, if they want to shield them from realities in education, they can homeschool them. And whether that's a good idea or not is a different proposition than trying to control what is taught in public school.
All right, we've got to go to a break. Sandy Williams is in the studio, 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.